of Luke today. So Luke 14, I'm going to read the first verse because it kind of sets the scene. Then there's another passage that goes in a different direction, but it picks up again at verse 7 along the lines of what verse 1 says. So then we'll read verses 7 through 14. So this is Luke chapter 14. So please turn there in your Bibles and let's stand in honor of God's word today. Open your heart because this is the word of the Lord. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you'll have to take the least important place. But when you're invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you'll be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." And this is God's word. You can be seated. So, we see from this passage that first century people were worried about their social standing. I don't know how much thought you've given to that when thinking about the ancient world and the biblical world, but it was a thing just like it's kind of a thing now. How do you like walking into a room where the door is closed and you don't know what's on, you don't know how many people are on the other side, you've sort of been invited to an event. Let's say you're about a minute or two late. And you walk in and boom, all of a sudden everybody turns and looks at you, right? Are you one of the people that's like, "Hey, I'm looking good," right? Have, you know, feast your eyes. Or are you one of the people that's like, "Oh no," worst case scenario. And I don't know what to do with myself or where to go or where to sit, right? Well, this is an anxiety that some people have, and some people dream about it all the time, that they're walking into a room and they don't know where to go and what to do. Well, this is something that has been with us probably as long as there have been human beings trying to live on the earth. Well, in verse 8 and 9, Jesus gives a little lesson in wisdom, right, of how to handle some of these socially awkward situations. And so let's take a look at that again at verse 8 and 9. It says, and let's read this together. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you'll have to take the least important place. So he's saying, hey, don't be that guy. Don't be that girl, right, who has presumed that they belong right at the front. And so Jesus here, I think, really is just offering some practical wisdom to people. A lot of times the people that Jesus would have been speaking to were not people of super high standing, right, and who may have been lacking in some of the social graces. And so he's giving them some insights that will help them navigate. Because this is part of everyday life, these types of decisions that we make and the strong emotions that we feel around topics like this. Everyone wants to be accepted. Everyone has a deep desire to be honored in some way. But then people carry with them a sense of unworthiness too. So Jesus is giving some advice of how to manage all of that. And what you see in the midst of his advice, you come really to a word, humility, right? You come to a word about being humble. Now, the opposite of being humble is being proud in the sense of arrogance, assuming that you have worth or value that is beyond perhaps your standing or what you've earned in a community. A lot of people are just sort of born with this. And some people seem to get away with it, right? They just have a natural sense of confidence, and they just blast through life assuming they can do it. And some people seem to get away with it, but I'm sure there are situations like this that come up where they run into trouble because they've outkicked their coverage, so to speak, proved to be a little too big for their britches. If we live that way a lot and we have to get knocked down by others and put back in our place, that's a devastating experience to have. And so as we're considering our place in the world, I think Jesus is saying, let's not have it as a goal to puff ourselves up or to try to feel more important than someone else. There is always someone more successful than you. I've heard people who have achieved levels of success talk about this and realize that there's no end to how they could envy someone else's situation. No matter what they have, there's always someone who has more or someone who seems happier or has a better overall life situation. So when we start pursuing pride and a sense of achievement, we are pursuing something that's empty and perhaps meaningless. But if we are humble and we pursue a path of not trying to draw attention to ourselves, it's possible that honors will come our way. And that's a better way to go. So there was this hang-up that existed in the ancient world. What about today? Do you think we still struggle with this? I think we do. I think that we can easily fall into a pride of life if we are not careful. Now, some people go one way or the other with this. Again, there are people who walk around always thinking, well, what I've accomplished is important, who I am and what I have is great and fantastic, and are always comparing themselves and feeling a sense of pride about who they are. There are others who never feel worthy, never feel like they have enough or belong or compare well to others. And so they carry a heaviness of spirit all the time comparing themselves. So I think that's another thing that Jesus would want to say to us through his wise words in this passage. It's just not worth it to play the comparison game. Amen? We all have enough worries and burdens to carry, right? We all have enough responsibilities that we could be focusing on and taking care of. When we begin to compare, we really go down a path that leads to a lot of pain. I'm going to show my age a little bit, but I used to love that commercial where, anybody remember Bob Uecker? Do you know who he is? He's still the announcer for the Milwaukee Brewers. The guy must be pushing 80 at this point, and still he's on the air doing the play-by-play. Now, he was a very average baseball player, right? His career batting average was exactly 200, which is kind of hard to accomplish. And he made a career after baseball sort of making fun of himself at how mediocre he was. And maybe you remember years ago he would go on Johnny Carson and he would have pictures of himself doing really stupid things when he was a player. And it was really kind of funny, his self-deprecating sense of humor. Kind of the opposite of a player who's got, you know, 20 gold chains on and a $200,000 car and loud music and a big entourage wherever they go. He just made fun of his own foibles. But there was that commercial, right, where he's walking along and saying, oh, it's great to be an ex-ball player, right? You get all these perks. I wanted to go to the game. Boom, they gave me tickets. And he pulls them out and he sticks them in his pocket. And he walks over in this really prime seats right near home plate. And he goes and he says, look at this. Isn't this great? He goes, I probably won't even have to buy my own drinks once the fans recognize who I am. then all of a sudden, the attendant comes over and goes, "Hey, buddy, you're in the wrong seat." And he says, "Oh, I must be in the front row." Well, then they flash back. He's way up in the cheap seats, all the way back, and he's screaming, "He missed the tag." Right? I must be in the front row. That's what some of us think, but this is literally this parable of Jesus put into action, trying to take the seat of honor, when really, boom, it was time for the cheap seat. So the Milwaukee actually has a bronze statue of him up in the cheap seats, and you can go sit and get your picture taken with Bob Uecker. When we fall into the pride of life, it looks very foolish to others, right? And it's funny to laugh at, but it can be a serious and hard fall when we've been trusting in earthly things and those things are somehow taken away from us, or a sense of earthly honor, and then suddenly the seasons change and the wind blows in a different direction and we don't count quite as much as we used to. How do you adjust to that? How are you adjusting to that as you get a little older in life? These are things worth thinking about as a Christian. But the exciting and good news about what Jesus goes on to say here is that we don't just have to be passive victims of what goes on in life and in social settings. Jesus really creates something new in this passage. He creates an opportunity for us to shape how things go in our lives that allows us really, maybe even to change the world. Jesus creates a new and life-giving hospitality in this passage. And it's exciting to think about. It turns everything upside down. So he's trying to say to them now, it's not even about how you score on the social scene, but your encounters with other people and occasions, happy occasions and parties, are really an opportunity for you to change lives. Now think about that for a minute and let it sink in. When you're having an event, is your thought, who can I get there that'll make me seem better than I am? I mean, you don't say it like that, but somewhere back in your mind, you think, how could this be a little more upscale if I invite so-and-so? But Jesus says it's not about who you think you are. It's about who Jesus is. Can I say that again? It's not about who you think you are or I think I am this morning. It's about who Jesus is. And because Jesus is who he is, and because of his life-changing power, and because he cares about anyone and everyone and will change their lives even today, then every moment is filled with possibility. It's his show, ladies and gentlemen. It's not ours. And he wants everyone included. Are you hearing me today? If someone has earthly status, Jesus says, great. What are you doing with it? Who is benefiting from what I have blessed you with? And that's a powerful question. How are you leveraging the status Jesus has given you to humbly help others? Boom, right? Now suddenly you're an agent of change. Now suddenly you're a person who can throw a party that might leave a mark on eternity. Are you tracking with me here this morning? Who cares? The people who come to your party that are wealthy or whatever, they're just going to complain about your food and go home and gossip about you. But the people who come to your party, who never get invited to parties, they're going to think someone cares about me. And maybe God cares about me. And maybe my life can mean something, and my life can make a difference. Which host would you rather be? Amen? Well, Jesus calls us to live with humble hospitality. That's a sense of moving through life, offering ourselves to others to the extent that we can, and with hope for their life to improve. So how do you do with this? Do you look people up and down and make a quick judgment and move on? Or do you look into people's eyes and see them as someone God has made in his image, someone worth loving, someone you might be able to bless today? Don't be too cool to be used of God to bless those with less. Amen. In fact, Jesus is like, look, don't even throw this other kind of party, because then you're just going to get repaid, right? They'll just invite you back to another party, and you'll complain about their food and gossip about them when you get home. No, throw this kind of party that you can't get paid back for. And then, in the only place that matters, the resurrection of the righteous, that's where you're going to get paid. Amen? And it won't even be in bags of cash. It'll just be the sense of yes and amen. That was right. That was good. And someone felt worthy and loved and perhaps is here today at the resurrection of the righteous because I threw a party, because I invited them in. So this morning, how do we use our standing? How do we use our influence? Are we trying to improve ourselves? Now, I'm not saying never network. I'm not saying don't try to get the best job you can. I'm not saying that there aren't people who can help us in life. But if we're obsessed with this, if this is our way of life, then we are missing out on the good news of the gospel being enacted in our daily choices. Amen? And we are missing out on the people God really wants to include in his family. The lame, the blind, the poor, those who could never socially repay you. So who is God prompting us to welcome into our lives, to welcome into his family? And are we being more concerned about someone because of what they have to offer us or because of what Jesus has to offer them through us? Let's bow our heads. Father, this really is a simple message, and thank you for that. But Lord, instead of getting caught up in social anxieties, help us to have the courage to shape our worlds in the ways you are inviting us to do. And help us to see the people in our lives as you see them. And help us to accept them and love them where they are, just as you do with us. And help us to see their value in terms of how much they matter to you and who they could become in Christ. This morning, Lord, help us. There might be some of us here this morning who are constantly carrying around a sense of unworthiness. And if that's the case, Lord of all mercy and grace, would you just come next to us and to say, you have value to me. You have worth, and I love you, and I have a purpose for you. Would you just renew us this morning with a sense of who we are as your child, that we matter to you, and it doesn't matter how we compare to anyone else. We couldn't be compared because we're your unique child, and your love for us is endless. I pray you deeply reassure those who need it. And Father, for those of us this morning who carry around a little sense of pride, maybe a little too much, wear it on our sleeve. Convict us this morning, Lord, but don't condemn us. Father, it's not how we desire to live, so come alongside of us. Bring us down a little notch in our own eyes so you can lift us up in due time. And help us to see ourselves as people who can bless and make a difference, that these good things that are in our lives, they're there to shape and change the world so the kingdom can come. And may something ignite within us this morning where we say, yes, I see it now, and I know who. And with your help, Lord, I'll get to what to do. And so, Father, forgive us, restore us, and renew us, that we could be humble, humble world shapers by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us all now to have eyes to see and look at the opportunities before us as a church and the challenges that lay before us as a church, and to see them as the places you're going to move mightily as you shape new social settings, create new connections, and change lives through us. Thank you, Lord, that everyone's included, even us. And thank you, Lord, that everyone's invited, even those we don't know yet, but we could. Help us to imagine a future that you have in mind, Lord. And may lives change in wonderful, blessed ways. We do look forward to the resurrection of the righteous, that somehow by your grace we could be found worthy because of your love, and go and stand and hear words of well-being, well done, good and faithful servant, and have it be the way that you led us humbly to invest in others, that may it just be so fantastic to see them coming to you, coming to peace, to an eternity of blessedness, and to know we had that small part of inviting. Thank you, Lord, and we praise you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name.